Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Second hour of the Jeff Poor Show. Coming up on the show, still to come, from WVNN, my former colleague Dale Jackson will be with us. We'll talk about some things going on around the state and around the country. Also, in the 11 a.m. hour, State Representative Matt Simpson joins us in studio, so make sure you stay tuned. Our next guest, always a pleasure to welcome my next guest. I hope to get him on regularly as possible, but been very kind to me. Allowed us to use his office once in the Capitol. I got to do a radio show in the Alabama Capitol once, which is a really, really cool experience. Alabama Secretary of State John Merrill joins us on the line. Secretary Merrill, how are you this morning?
Jeff, doing great. I hope you're enjoying your new location and things are going well for y'all.
So far, so good. Haven't been fired yet, so that's a very promising sign.
That's outstanding after 3 days.
Well, I think we're up to this is day six, so
that's it.
We're chugging quite along here. Been kind of following you on social media. You've been making your way around the state and dealing with some of this. I assume going kind of checking in with these probate courts. What are you hearing on that side? COVID-19 obviously impacting all levels of government, including county government, and how you cooperate there from the state and the county standpoint. Overcoming those challenges, something that seems to be kind of moving in a good direction?
Well, one of the things that we're seeing, Jeff, is how people are adapting to what some would call the new normal. I don't call it that, but I do think that some people are referring to it that way because they want to make sure that they are doing everything they possibly can to provide for their constituents, to meet their needs, and to do so in a professional and timely fashion, but doing it the way that they have to now because of the changes that have occurred. And so that's where we are, and we're just making sure that people don't have needs that can't be met or that need to be met but through the state offering some level of assistance. And so that's what we do, and we're excited to do so.
Well, one of the things it seems like that's really come under your tenure there in that office is a lot of things have moved online virtually, and with, you know, you're not wanting people to have to go trudge down to the courthouse and interact and perhaps potentially spread COVID-19, that the move is to do more and more online. Is there what's left to be done? Is that sort of where we are kind of should be heading anyway, but just now this maybe speeds up that process?
You are correct. As a matter of fact, I was meeting with a probate judge and a member of the commission just Friday of last week, Thursday of last week, talking about this very topic, because we are trying to, and as you know, have been trying to for several years, get everybody to move online as far as business filings are concerned. And we get closer and closer to that day as we move forward. And legislation was passed in the abbreviated session that we just experienced to cause that transition to come even quicker. Well, January the 1st, we're going to see basically almost 100% of business filings that will be online from this point forward. That will expedite the process for people trying to start new businesses in the state of Alabama, from a mom and pop shop all the way up to a 4,000 employee operation. Now, the thing that we wanted to do was to make sure that people knew by doing this, it would not cost the county any money that they had normally been receiving, because at that point it would hurt the county's general fund. So we had to make sure that that was indeed the case, and it was. And some counties are actually getting more money now than they were getting before, but that was my number one goal when it came to the mandating that the legislature was going to require all counties to be filing electronically instead of doing what we had done, which is trying to bring them on voluntarily. But I just didn't want anybody at the county level to lose any money.
Well, doesn't it seem if you go in this direction, there's cost savings, there's cost benefits to doing, you know, maybe not the in-person. You still have a level of that, but if you open up more maybe you could save some money, or these counties could save some money?
Well, of course you could, and you're going to be saving money primarily in the area of personnel. I actually, Jeff, and you will believe this because you're so in touch and in tune with what goes on in state and county governments, but I had a probate judge tell me one time he did not want to have the electronic business filings, and I asked him why, and this was a gentleman that was on my probate judge advisory council, so this was somebody that was well-informed and knew why we were doing what we were doing and knew all the steps that we'd been taking, but he said, John, look, if I go to electronic business filings, I'm going to have to let somebody go. And I said, Judge, let me ask you a question. I said, do you mean to tell me you're not going to do it because that means you're going to have to lose an employee? And he said, that's exactly what I'm telling you. And I said, Judge, let me tell you something. We're not into white-collar welfare. Our job as government officials is not to provide jobs for people. That's not our job. That needs to be done in the private sector. So if that's the reason that you're saying we don't need that, you need to reevaluate your commitment to public service.
Yeah, it does seem like a perverse incentive to stand in the way of change. And do you run into that? Now, I know you've talked about this a little bit, but when you first came into that office, I mean, people are just used to doing things a certain way in government. The bureaucracy is very difficult to overcome. But I would argue, just kind of being an outsider here, looking at the changes within your office, that's been probably one of the big hallmarks of your tenure there, is at least trying to streamline some of these, business licensings and things like that, that you've made it faster, that things move faster. But that's come at the expense of maybe upsetting some people that are used to doing it the old way.
Well, some people like to do it slow, and they would say deliberate. But I say, with the lack of efficiency and effectiveness when you're trying to meet the needs of the people that you are serving, because people expect you to do things as fast as you can and as efficiently as you can. And if you're still doing it the old way simply because you would prefer to do it that way instead of doing it that way because that's what's best for your constituents, you're working for the wrong people. You're serving the wrong master.
Right. That there's it just the overcoming that, because government's so entrenched in the way bureaucracies work, they don't move fast. But no one's really said, well, how can we speed it up? It's just it becomes more of we need to manage this more than we need to develop it and revolutionize it.
Absolutely, my friend.
Let's talk about elections real quick. The turnout for the July 14th race, did everything go as expected there? Did any hiccups, anything to look back on, anything you can learn that came out of that for November 3rd?
Well, no problems, Jeff. You know, things went really well overall, and we were excited that things happened the way that they did. We anticipated we would have somewhere between 17 and 22% of our people go to the polls, and we ended up with 17.6. Some people thought that was a little high on the projection, but about 2 o'clock that afternoon, I was thinking it might be a little high, too, because at that time, only 6% of the people in the state had voted. But they came around and voted before the end of the day, and of course we now have a Republican nominee for the United States Senate, and Coach Tommy Tuberville. He'll be facing Senator Doug Jones in November. We also have nominees for the Congressional District 1 race. Democrats and Republicans have been secured. Commissioner Jerry Carl in Mobile will be representing the GOP, and former state legislator Barry Moore will be representing the Republican Party in the Wiregrass in Congressional District 2.
Well, and looking forward to that, you know, based on what, I guess, those late votes coming in to make that turnout hit that 17% benchmark, I got to be thinking, and I know it's way out to really offer a projection, but you're going to have to expect pretty decent turnout for that November election if you're sitting here today.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I think we're going to break every record in the history of the state for voter participation. I think we're going to see more than 2.5 million, maybe as high as 2.8 million people go to the polls, Jeff. And The most we've ever had is 2.1 million. Now, as far as the percentages are concerned, I have not put the pen to the paper yet to come up with what the percentages will be, but my expectation is that we will break records for turnout, and we will see north of 125, maybe as much as 150,000 people attempting to vote absentee through the absentee application process.
What does the procedures you had in place under a pandemic, the hand sanitizing stations and mask offered and things like that, do you think it's going to be, that's something you're going to have make arrangements for and make it more readily available? Because this seems like with such a big number, that's going to be a huge undertaking.
You know, no more so than what we've already done. The preparation has already been done. The work is still underway and will be for the next 90 days as we approach that deadline. But, you know, we're excited about where we are and about what we're doing and about how our people have been cooperative. We expect to have electronic poll books in all 67 counties on November the 3rd. The counties that don't have them on November the 3rd will do so by their choice. We actually want to make sure that everybody is taking advantage of this new technology, especially because of the numbers and what our expectations are, because we don't want people waiting in line. We don't want people to have to give up the better part of their day to go and cast their ballot for the candidate of their choice and exercise their right participate in this democratic republic.
And finally, I want to talk about this mail-in voting. We talked about it some in the past. One of the fascinating things you were telling me about how difficult this would be to put in place. You can't just do this overnight. And it's almost as if Democrats and those the proponents for it are making it more of a political, just a political hot button, more than they actually want this to be a reality. And you know, from your standpoint as the chief election official in the state of Alabama, doing this isn't quite as easy as some have made it out to at least made it
no,
seem to be.
No, certainly not, Jeff. And you know, universal voting by mail is not something that we support, nor do we encourage. We certainly have absentee voting by mail, which we've had for many, many years, and we will continue to have. We think that that's the best, the safest, the most secure, the most accountable, and the most transparent way to cast your ballot by mail. Of course, we just had 43,000 people make application to vote absentee by mail in the runoff election, and we had 32,000 people successfully cast their ballot for the candidate of their choice through the absentee process on July the 14th. So we're excited about that, about the results that we've been seeing, about the interaction between our absentee election managers, in most instances the circuit clerk, and the general population when it comes to voting by the absentee process. And we want to make sure that we continue to make it easy to vote and hard to cheat in the state of Alabama.
Is that absentee ballot process, I know it's had some problems in the past, but we've heard less and less of these incidents. Is there something going on there that's kind of shoring that system up to make it less susceptible to any kind of fraud?
Well, certainly. And you know, we passed legislation in 2019 to make it more difficult to cheat through the absentee process, because we've had 6 convictions on voter fraud since I've been the secretary, and we've had 3 elections that have been overturned. And in that time, 5 of those elections, the reason that the conviction occurred was because the person was engaged in absentee voter fraud. And in 2 of the elections that resulted in them being overturned, that happened because of the absentee process as well.
Let's wrap it up on this. Give us an update on registered voters and give us a count on the counties there and unique visits.
Certainly, Jeff. You know, since January the 19th, 2015, which is 5 years, 6 months, and 22 days ago when I became your secretary, we've registered 1,588,954 new voters. We now have a state record, 3,006,000 627,079 registered voters. But I always like to throw this in. We've removed more than 920,000 people from the voter rolls because those people have moved away, they passed away, or they've been put away. As far as my visits are concerned, of course, we've had the COVID going on, so that changed it a little bit. But since January the 1st of this year, I visited 48 of our 67 counties for 191 unique visits.
And if folks need to know more about what's going on at Secretary of State's office or anything to do with voting, tell them where they need to go.
Yes, sir. Visit our website, alabamavotes.gov. Call our office, 334-242-7200, or call me on my cell at 334-328-2787. We'd be delighted to help.
Secretary, as always, want to thank you for making time for us.
Jeff, you're kind to call. We'll look forward to our next visit.
We'll do it again real soon. That was Alabama Secretary of State John Merrill joining us. We're going to take a time out here. We will return. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Hello, West Virginia coal miner. Let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on down the line. This is for the one who drives the big rigs.